Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
We have big AI news out of Anthropic. So Anthropic has just launched Claude 3. This is supposed to be like a competitor to GPT-4, and maybe even, you know, they would probably argue that it's better. But it's really interesting. All in all, this is a big step for them. This is the brand new model. This just happened a couple hours ago that they made this announcement. So Jamie is, you know, he's already getting rolling up his sleeves and getting in, testing this thing out. Jamie, from what you've seen on the website, what are the pros and cons? What is this thing looking like?
It's pretty cool, man. So far, I'm super impressed. I gave it 3 different prompts just to kind of really test the claimed, you know, intelligence of it. And so I thought I'd share those with you. Let me pull up my thing here. Okay. The first, I had it analyze my website. So I gave it my URL to my wife and I's website, jamieandsarah.us, and said, how can I do better? How can I optimize this site for sales? And I just want to see what it said. And it had some good tips, but kind of halfway through, I kind of realized that some of these are maybe more generic, or else it misread what my website's about, because it was talking about, you know, the navigation menu is basic, which we designed it. It is basic. So recognize some things, because we only have a home page and then one product page on our site. It says reorganizing it with categories like necklaces, bracelets, rings may improve product browsing. So we're not selling jewelry. So that's where maybe I got confused by the image on the website. There's a picture of me and my wife holding up phones, and like money is kind of spewing out of the phone. So maybe thought we were doing jewelry of some kind, but the tips were pretty good though, honestly. Like, and like I said, it did recognize some things about my website. Like we have a very basic navigation menu. It's pretty simple. So there were some helpful tips, but then there were some more generic ones. But so far, better than I've seen with other models. So the second question I asked it is, can you tell me the latest AI news? And it said, here are some of the latest notable AI news stories as of March 2024. And it had some pretty relevant ones about, you know, OpenAI releasing GPT-4, AI image generators face increased scrutiny. So some kind of relevant ones, but it didn't have like breaking news like we're talking about today on the podcast. I'm sure we'll talk about Elon Musk suing OpenAI and Sam Altman, you know, stuff like that. It wasn't like breaking news, but still, you know, relevant within the last month. So that was pretty good. And then the third one I did was a YouTube thumbnail analyzer. So I uploaded one of our YouTube thumbnails from a recent video Sarah and I did. And I said, can you tell me how to make this thumbnail more engaging? And this was actually the most impressive prompt to me, because it told me, use an impactful but original title that sparks curiosity about the $50,000 challenge. So it recognized the text on the image because it says $50,000 flip challenge. But it kind of gave me and that's our strategy anyways, is to have a title that kind of engages the viewer further, entices them to click on it. So I thought that was a great tip. It said, incorporate symbolic or metaphoric visuals related to the financial goal or nature of the challenge. Play with contrast and color. So it had some really great tips that a lot of them I already knew, but there were some great reminders. So overall, I'm super impressed with this model so far.
Super cool. Okay, so I'm happy you got the hands-on, because I'll do like a little bit of a technical breakdown of what this thing is like capable of doing and how it kind of works, how it stacks up against ChatGPT and Gemini and stuff. But I think it's really important because you can see all of these kind of like benchmarks and tests and like, you know, the numbers they give you. And I think it definitely can be deceiving. Some people can, you know, just report good results. And we've seen all sorts of like, you know, funny business in this. So I think at the end of the day, like the number one, it sounds funny because like in science, right, you don't want the anecdotal evidence. You want like the empirical evidence or whatever. You want it, you know, this tested 1,000 times. But like, I feel like for me on these AI models, I want to go test it with a bunch of anecdotal evidence, like, okay, here's five things I need it for. Can it do it? Okay, it can do it better than the other thing. This is the better model. I don't care, like, what your statistics are. I don't care how much better you did on some sort of benchmark. If you can do my job better than the other model, I give you the W. So I'll preface all of this with that, but I do think this is going to give you guys all listening a good understanding of where they're at. So Anthropic, they released three new models. There's Claude 3 Opus, Claude 3 Sonnet, and Claude 3 Haiku. You can think about these kind of like GPT-4, GPT-3.5, and then maybe like GPT-3. So it kind of goes back. But I think as far as the benchmarks go, I'm pretty impressed. Now, I think it's interesting they got three, because obviously OpenAI right now, they're just, you know, they have kind of just their two models they have out there. They have others, I guess, you get access by API, but like publicly available, they just have GPT-4 and 3.5. But Google is kind of doing a similar approach with like Gemini Ultra, Gemini Pro, and they got like another one too. So they got three as well. In any case, I'll break these down. So the first benchmark that they put this up against was the undergraduate level knowledge. That's the MMLU benchmark. And Claude 3 Opus, which is their best one. And I will also say this is paid. So it's like GPT-4. I went on their website, and since I haven't paid for it, all they give you access to is Sonnet, which is one down, kind of like ChatGPT giving you access to 3.5 for free.
Yeah, and I want to jump in. I'll jump in real quick saying for the prompts I was using Sonnet, not Opus.
Okay. Yep. Okay, yeah, so that makes sense. So for the undergraduate level, Opus got a 86.9% score. Comparing that to GPT-4, which got 86.4. So it's only like 0.4% better than GPT-4. And I think they have like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They have like 8 evaluations that they've ranked on. And I've seen people in some of these like benchmarking kind of things, you know, these benchmark measuring contests. It's like I've seen them put out like 20 different benchmarks they run against. So if they're just showing 8, my assumption is they ran it against all 25, and these 8, they were better than GPT-4. You know what I mean? So everyone kind of does that, especially when you start seeing them say, like, we're 0.4% better than GPT-4. Okay, for all intents and purposes, they're pretty much the exact same, but whatever, it's comparable. That's cool, right? What I will say, though, is what you were trying, Jamie, Sonnet got a 79 and GPT-3.5 got a 70. So that's almost 10% better, their free version versus OpenAI's free version. So if you're using the free version of ChatGPT, I mean, you probably will get better results. This is newer, right? GPT-3 has been out for like a year. So, I mean, whatever. I guess maybe it's less impressive. I don't know. What are your thoughts? They're only beating them by 10% on that, and it's been an entire year, and OpenAI is probably going to come up with something new.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's kind of arbitrary. Anyways, the scores and things. I think the bigger play is who's going to align with the heavy hitters, you know, Microsoft, Google, and who's going to take over. And at this point, I don't know what the differentiator is going to be. You know, OpenAI has had their amazing, the Sora, you know, video generation, element as well. So it's really anyone's guess at this point.
Yep. 100% agree. So I'll break down, there's a few more, but I want to break down a couple that I think there's some big alpha. There's some big difference between them. So on graduate level reasoning, Claude 3 Opus got 50.4%. GPT-4 got 35.7. So that to me is like, okay, cool. Grad level reasoning, this thing's significantly better. Like when you're going 15% better, yeah, that's awesome to me. And I think this is important because GPT-4, remember, came out like an entire year ago. So if you can't do 15% better in an entire year, I'm kind of shocked, right? So when it's the same level, and they just came out with this thing, I'm like, you're not, it's, you know, 0.4% better is actually way worse, because this thing's a year older and OpenAI is going to come up with a new thing pretty soon here, right? Okay, so grad level reasoning, that's significant. Grade school math is pretty similar. Math problem solving, they did 60 and GPT-4 did 52.9, so like 53. So 7% better. Okay, math problem solving, that seems good. We all know OpenAI's ChatGPT, even GPT-4, isn't like that great at math. It's got a lot of problems. 50% is like... And I think this is another funny thing, Jamie. I'd be curious to hear your take on it. But like the AI we have now is the worst it will ever be. And while we're like, oh my gosh, it's so amazing, all the things it can do. Like GPT-4 is still doing like 53% on math. Like that's terrible if you actually need this, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's where the whole reasoning bit comes in, and where the true, in my opinion, intelligence comes from. So it'll be interesting to see how that, you know, evolves. The text thing, I think, was really amazing at first to people, but and especially before we realized, you know, how it works and where it draws data sets from, things like that. The math, you know, to me, once it can get the math up, you know, into the 80%, yep. you know, ratings, that's when I'm going to be like, okay, maybe we should be a little bit scared at this point.
Yeah, 100%. The two other ones I wanted to call out were so Claude 3 Opus did really well on, oh, I'm not even comparing any of these to Gemini. I feel like they're kind of leaving Gemini in the dust on a lot of these. But anyways, multilingual math, it got 90.7% on. I'm not 100% sure what the difference between, that's the MGMS benchmark. I'm not sure exactly what that means. I mean, obviously they're doing math with multiple languages, but I don't know if these are easier problems, because if it's only getting 90%, if it's getting 90% on that, but on regular math problem solving is 60%, I think
that's weird.
They're probably easier, just like spoken word math problems. In any case, they got 90 and GPT-4 got 74.5. So, I mean, that's a pretty significant, again, 15% push. I think that's impressive. Gemini 1 Ultra, it got 79. I don't even think Gemini 1 Ultra is publicly available, if I'm correct. I could be wrong. They might have released that, but they held it back for a while. But that got 79. So they're still a solid 11% higher than... So they're still kicking Google. And then the other one I wanted to bring up was coding. They did the human eval test. This is a big one. A lot of people are excited about. This is obviously, you know, software development stuff. And it got 85% on this, 84.9%. And GPT-4 got 67%. So they did some big moves there. Again, we're seeing like 15% almost, you know, differences on these or more. So yeah, so that's really impressive. Then the last thing I'll bring up is that they did the mixed evaluations. So that's the big bench hard, or maybe those are three different evaluations, big bench and hard. No, that's one. Never mind. Okay, but on that, regardless, they got 86.8, GPT-4 got 83, Gemini got 83.6. That right there makes me feel that, like, overall, these things are pretty similar. Maybe you can point out, like, hey, we're 15% better on multilingual math, or, like, some kind of these, like, a little bit more obscure areas. But overall, on the mixed evaluations, it seems like all of these are fairly similar. And then the only thing I want to call out there is, like, Google Gemini Ultra was a couple months ago. Claude 3 Opus is right now. And everyone's benchmarking pretty similar to GPT-4, which came out an entire year ago, and no doubt they're working on something new. So I would just say, take it with a grain of salt. These things are impressive, but I think OpenAI is going to be coming out with something impressive pretty quick here.
For sure. Yeah, that, I mean, I'm going to go back to the Sora thing because my mind is so blown about that, but they just blew everyone else out of the water who was doing similar video generation. So yeah, I think you're right when it comes to, you know, their new GPT-5 or whatever they're coming out with. It's going to blow everyone else out of the water again. So,
yeah. And when we're talking, because obviously on the AI Hustle podcast, like, we're talking about ways that you can use AI for your side hustles and businesses. The one thing I want to say is you 100% should be paying for GPT-4 for ChatGPT Premium. It is so much better. Just do it if you use it a lot. But if for some reason you're not and you're using the free version, I think looking at the evaluations, and I posted these benchmarks on my LinkedIn so you can go check them out and see exactly where it compares, but it's significantly better to use the free version of Claude compared to GPT-3.5. So Claude 3 Sonnet versus GPT-3.5. If you don't want to pay for it, if you're going to be free, I would go and use that. You're going to get a way better experience. It's like 20, 30% better on a lot of benchmarks. So I would go check that out. But overall, thank you so much for tuning into the podcast today. I know this is kind of a technical breakdown on the benchmarks of these models, but I wanted you to get a good idea of where these new models are coming out with, you know, giving you the exact, like, recipe or the exact receipt, sorry, for which is better and why and where we see this going in the future. Because I think this plays a big role in, you know, what you're using AI for in your businesses. Obviously, ChatGPT, this is kind of the core foundation. You know, Jamie, you talked a lot about Sora in the video. That's kind of the next wave we're going to see. We're seeing the image. But honestly, this text is like a really solid foundation. So we wanted you to have a good insight and understanding on that. It's going to be interesting to see where this goes in the future. If you enjoyed the podcast today, leave us a review. We really appreciate it. And we hope that you all have an amazing rest of your day.